5, Flashback of the Week. Another article from the Best of British October edition. This week is all about one actor who's played roles on both sides of the law. Inspired by the Who album of the same name, 1979's Quadrophenia, and considered one of the greatest British films of all time. It made stars of much of its young cast, including Phil Daniels, Leslie Ash, Philip Davis, Sting, Toya Wilcox and Mark Wingett, who is perhaps best known for playing DC Jim Carver in The Bill. We didn't know how successful Quadrophenia was going to be. Nobody did, recalls Mark. When it first appeared, it caused a bit of a buzz when it disappeared, and although the kids went to the cinema to watch it. It came out on VHS that it became really successful. Mark was born in Melton Mowbray, Leicestershire. His father was an officer in the Royal Navy, which meant that his family moved around with his postings. However, Mark's formative years were spent in a little village outside Portsmouth called, funny name, Cowplain, where he was able to pursue his interest in acting at Horndean Comprehensive School. After playing the king in the school's production of Rumpelstiltskin, Mark took the lead in Noah and awarded an exhibition by Hampshire County Council, was able to afford extra drama lessons. I used to take part in productions and festivals, that kind of thing, with a drama teacher. Mrs. Audrey Avery was her name. There was 5 or 6 of us in the school who had this particular thing, and when I was 16, Mrs. Avery suggested that all of us audition for the National Youth Theatre. There was a guy there doing the auditions, Fergus Logan, who was one of the directors of the Youth Theatre. When I walked into the room, he was asleep or he was snoozing, so I kicked him. I prodded him with my foot, and he kind of woke up. I think he just ticked the list and let me in. The first year there, I was in the crowd in Julius Caesar. You do it in the summer holidays, and then in the second year, I had the lead in England My Own by Peter Turson. From that, about 20 of us went up for a thing called Quadrophenia, and I got cast in the main role as Dave. Although there was a few of us who were in the rest of the film, people like Robert Glenister, Peter McNamara, Bruce Payne, who was extras in Quadrophenia, so a few of us got jobs from it. Set in the 1960s in London, Quadrophenia stars Phil Daniels as Jimmy Cooper, a mod who escapes the drudgery of work and home with drugs and fights, riding his Lambretta scooter, wearing a crash helmet on a motorcycle, became compulsory in 1973. To capture the period feeling of helmetless riding, scenes were shot on the Transport Research Laboratory test track at Crowthorne, Berkshire, around the streets of Brighton that had been closed off for filming, and their good old-fashioned subterfuge. When we go south of the river to get some blues, amphetamine pills, all of the bikes had been brought in vans and trucks. We're all lined up on the embankment, and Assistant Director Ray Corbett looks left, looks right, and says, "All right, boys, helmets off." I was the only one who could ride a bike before we started the production. Maybe that's part of why I was cast. But the others learned to ride scooters. And is Mark still riding scooters? Scooters? My God, no. I have a Triumph Thunderbird Storm, which is lovely. 1700cc cruiser. If you love your scooters, that's your thing. And I can see the aesthetic of it. But if you're a serious motorcyclist and you want to go somewhere like Berlin, which I've done, you can't really. You could do it on a scooter, but it'd be so uncomfortable. You want something to take your distances. The 40th anniversary of Quadrophenia is being celebrated with a series of events across the country, including film screenings and a recent cast reunion that was filmed for Sky Arts, Quadrophenia has become a national institution, but that hasn't always been the case. We were up against the establishment. We were that dirty little film. The Evening Standard Film Awards were a big thing then, a bit like the BAFTAs nowadays, and Phil gives one of his greatest performances on celluloid that I think it's in its existence. But the guy who won it was Simon McCorkindale for an Agatha Christie. It should have been Phil's award. Mark was soon reunited with Phil Daniels on Breaking Glass, a cult film about the rise and fall of a singer played by Hazel O'Connor, whose soundtrack album went to number 5 and spawned 2 hit singles. It provided early film roles for the likes of Jonathan Pryce, Richard Griffiths and Michael Kitchin. Mark played Tony, the guitarist, and I wondered whether he was musical in real life. I used to play the trumpet and I learned a few chords from Breaking Glass. I never really continued with the guitar properly. I could bang out a tune if I was under duress, but I love music. My first interest was in punk rock, and then reggae and ska. Just a wide range of music, anything good. I'm not that particularly musical, something I've not nurtured. Maybe I will in my old age, you know. I bought myself an accordion, which I might play and sing some sea shanties. I quite fancy that. In early 1983, Mark was appearing at the Royal Court in the Tony Marchant play, Welcome Home, in which he played one of the squad of Falklands War paratroopers who were preparing for a fallen comrade's funeral. One evening, the play was seen by people from Thames Television, who invited the 5 cast members to audition for a 1-hour television play called Wooden Top. We all auditioned, and 3 out of the 5 of us, Bob Pugh, a great actor, Gary Olson, and myself, were in the pilot. Part of Thames's storyboard stand of one-off plays. Wooden Top saw Mark star as Jim Carver, a probationary constable, on his first day at Sunhill Police Station. First transmitted on the 16th of August 1983. Wooden Top impressed sufficiently to be picked up as a series, with a few changes, including John Salthouse replacing Pugh as DCI Roy Galloway, and of course a new title. The Bill made its television debut on the 16th of October 1984, and it ran for 26 years. An amazing time for any TV series. But I wondered if Mark could ever have imagined it running for so long. No, it was a month's job. In those days, you used to rehearse for just 2 weeks, then film it for a fortnight, and that's it. I did it, though. That was interesting. I played a copper, which was an interesting change. The very first series of The Bill was filmed in the East End. It was quite groundbreaking in the use of locations. They used outside broadcast cameras and equipment and would film it in the long shot to give it a documentary feel. For the day, it was quite groundbreaking. The stories were half improvised by the actors, which was really interesting. Obviously, we had to have a storyline, but you have a great input back in those days. So it was exciting thing. It was an exciting thing working in this satellite in what was the top of Wapping, which was depressed in those days, because Docklands was being redeveloped, and then the print strike and the pickets at the fortress Wapping were for the News of the World. They stopped production for that, I think, a year or two, and then moved over to Ladbroke Grove. That's when the series was at its height. At its best, and you had the characters like Burnside, Christopher Ellison, and Lines, Kevin Lloyd. It was a great place back then, and they kind of incorporated it all and took it down to Merton. All that organic intensity was still there, but kind of softened by the fact you're out in the suburbs. During his 21 years on The Bill, Mark was at the forefront of many storylines, from the good, the bad, and the hilarious, However, his finest hour had to be Jim's descent into alcoholism, and began when the character returned to uniform, the result of tenure, a policy at the time that affected detectives who had served in the CID for a decade without promotion. Executive producer Richard Hanford took me in one day and said, "Jim's going to be a victim of tenure. He's going to go back into uniform." Even on the bill, there was a kind of pecking order, which was quite fun. To be in CID was quite flash. I wasn't very happy going back into uniform. Kevin Lloyd had just died from drinking himself to death. My lovely mate Kev, who we all tried to help, and Thames Television really tried to help. So I thought about it for a few days, and I went back to Richard and said, "All right, Richard, I'm up for this, but why don't you give him a couple of problems? Why don't you make him an alcoholic?" And Richard's immediate reaction was, "Oh no, we can't do that because of Kevin." "Exactly because of Kevin I want to do it." I just watched Gary Oldman's fabulous film, Nil by Mouth, which was out around the same time. And I saw Ray Winston, giving the brutal kind of portrayal of alcoholism. And I thought, there's another side to this. That was a great period of creativity. I worked closely with the producers and writers, and they came out with those fantastic storylines. That was probably Jim's finest hour in the bill. Apparently the TV Times got the most post they'd ever got about the subject. I was walking down the street somewhere up north, and a bloke out of the blue came up to me and said, "You're Mark, aren't you? I've got to thank you. I was watching the telly when you were drinking, and it made me look at my own drinking and made me stop, because I had some problems." And I thought that was an amazing, powerful thing to do. What a fantastic compliment that is. I worked with some great actors, producers and directors on the show. Burnside and Lyons, Cryer, Eric Richard and Ackland, Trudy Goodwin. Some great characters, but the last couple of producers were horrible. Just children, basically. They didn't know what they were doing. I didn't like the way the show was going into the soap. I was fed up with the hours and I'd kind of done it all. What else could I do? 787 episodes. I always try to maintain my integrity and bring something to an episode or whatever. I loved it for many years, but the last people who ran the thing were disgraceful and I just thought I've had enough. Since leaving the bill in 2004, Mark has appeared on TV in shows like EastEnders, Heartbeat and Doctors and the film Snow White and The Huntsman. But one of his proudest moments was appearing on stage in the Ed, Waugh and Trevor Woods play Maggie's End, which imagines a Labour government giving Margaret Thatcher a state funeral. The first night was an extraordinary night. There was 300 ex-miners and their families in the audience. The first half came along and nobody made a noise. Nobody got any laughs. And I went backstage and I said, "I think they hate us." The play came to an end and everyone got to their feet and gave us a standing ovation, which was one of the most powerful moments in the theatre I've ever had as a performer. I just want to keep on working, you know. You didn't come into this business to become famous. You came in for work. It's always been about work, the quality of work. I've directed a few stage plays and I like to direct the next film. I'm working on a script at the moment about a motorcycle gang of silver riders, which is a sort of a comedy about ex-alcoholics and drug addicts who get sober and form a motorcycle club. Mark remains very close to his colleagues from the Bill and Quadrophenia, as well as the various Quadrophenia reunions. He's just worked with Toya on a horror film called Doll's House. He made a brief return to the Bill in 2007 as part of his Wooden Top co-star Trudy Goodwin's exit story and was hoping to visit Christopher Ellison during his trip to Brighton for the Quadrophenia celebrations on the August bank holiday. Despite his differences with the producers in later years, Mark says his favourite screen role was playing Jim Carver. especially through his decline. That was great fun. I suggest Jim's decline was the bill at its peak. Bless you, thank you. There were so many on the show, though. It was just a fabulous time, and everyone got behind me. The producers and directors and the writers and actors. It was great, just great. That's the kind of thing you dream of as an actor, is to be involved right up front, right in the middle of it, and these wonderful scripts written for you. You can't say better than that. Mark can be seen in classic episodes of The Bill, shown at 12 p.m. on weekdays, previous episode repeated at 11 a.m. on Drama.